Hey, good morning, folks.
Good morning.
I want you to open your Bible at the book of Acts, if you will. Acts chapter 26. Before we come to read part of the chapter, let me introduce it. I'm going to meet some people in this story. One of them is a man called Festus, and he was appointed the governor of Judea, and he wasn't long in the job until he faced a big problem, because he was presented with Paul, who had been arrested for preaching the gospel, for being true to Jesus. And the Jews wanted Paul to be shipped from Caesarea to Jerusalem, back to Jerusalem, where he would be tried by them. In fact, their plan was probably that he might not make it back to Jerusalem. He might be disappeared on the way. So Festus had a problem. And then we meet another guy called the king, called Agrippa. Now, there were two Agrippas in the New Testament. There's Agrippa the First and Agrippa the Second. This is Agrippa the Second. Agrippa the First was a bad man, and he persecuted the Christians. He imprisoned Peter. He had James killed, and he came to a bad end because he got eaten up by worms, according to what we're told in Acts chapter 12 and verse 23. So not a very nice death. The Agrippa in our story is Agrippa the Second, and he was the king of the area, and he arrived in Caesarea whenever Festus was struggling with this, what to do with Paul. And Paul really said to Festus, look, I prefer not to go to Jerusalem. I don't want to go to Jerusalem. I'm a Roman citizen. So I'm appealing to Caesar. I'm appealing. I want to be tried in a secular court, if you like. And so Agrippa said, well, let me hear what you have to say. And he was open and willing to listen to what Paul had to say in his defense. And in Acts chapter 26, you have his defense. And I'm not going to read the whole chapter, but, I mean, Paul begins he's really giving his testimony. He's telling a story. He begins by pointing out how he had lived his life in his own country, and that he had been a good Jew. He'd lived as a Pharisee. Then he goes on to tell how that he met Jesus, and how his life was changed, and how it was turned around, and that Jesus had told him to go and to preach the gospel, and he says, that's all I've been doing. I've been obedient to the vision. So let me start to read at verse 19, and this is Paul speaking to Agrippa. So then, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the vision from heaven. First to those in Damascus, then to those in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and then to the Gentiles, I preached that they should repent and turn to God and demonstrate their repentance by their deeds. That's why some Jews seized me in the temple courts and tried to kill me. But God has helped me to this very day. So I stand here and testify to small and great alike. I am saying nothing beyond what the prophets and Moses said would happen, that the Messiah would suffer, and as the first to rise from the dead, would bring the message of light to his own people and to the Gentiles. At this point, Festus interrupted Paul's defense. You're out of your mind, Paul, he shouted. Your great learning is driving you insane. I am not insane, most excellent Festus, Paul replied. What I'm saying is true and reasonable. The king is familiar with these things, and I can speak freely to him. I am convinced that none of this has escaped his notice, because it was not done in the corner. King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know you do. Then Agrippa said to Paul, do you think that in such a short time you can persuade me to be a Christian? Paul replied, short time or long, I pray to God that not only you, but all who are listening to me today may become what I am except for these chains. The king rose, and with him the governor and Bernice and those sitting with them, after they left the room, began saying to one another, this man is not doing anything that deserves death or imprisonment. Agrippa said to Festus, this man could have been set free if he had not appealed to Caesar. Agrippa has gone down in history as the man who was almost persuaded to be a Christian. Some people say that he was actually being cynical and looking at Paul and saying, do you really think that you can persuade me to be a Christian? That it was a kind of cynical, funny type reply. But I'm not so sure I agree with that. Because when I look at the context, Paul certainly didn't take it that way. Paul took it seriously. And when you look at the context, which we're going to do now, I think it tells us an awful lot about Agrippa and how close he was to becoming a Christian. So we're going to learn what it's like to be an almost Christian. I don't know if you've ever met one of those, or if maybe you are one of those. There are some things that we can look into the passage here and we can find some things that Agrippa knew. What did he know? First of all, that Christ would suffer. See, Paul says here, the king is familiar with these things. In fact, the word that he uses is a word that means the king understands these things. What things is he talking about? Well, Paul has said that Christ, the Messiah, would suffer. And in actual fact, it should be that Christ must suffer, or should suffer, must suffer. That Jesus had to die. And here is a man who was the king, and he knew and understood that Jesus had to die, that the Messiah was going to suffer and die on the cross. And this is what Paul had been preaching, and this is something that the king didn't have to have explained to him. He understood that Jesus had to die on the cross, that man couldn't save himself, that political or religious leaders couldn't save himself, that there was a price that had to be paid, and that Jesus, the Messiah, had to suffer. Part of the picture of the Messiah in the Old Testament is the suffering servant that Isaiah wrote about. That he would be wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. And the king understood that. So you can understand in your mind that Jesus died on the cross for sinners. That he had to die, that there was no other way for God to deal with sin. You can understand that in your mind and still not be a Christian. The second thing that he says is he understood that Jesus would rise from the dead. He understood that. King Agrippa knew that a dead Messiah was no good to anyone, and that Jesus had risen from the dead, that he must rise, that he did rise. Again, this tells us that it's possible in your mind not only to believe and to understand that Jesus died on the cross for sinners, but in your mind you can understand also that he rose from the dead, and he rose victorious from the dead. So you can understand that in your mind and still not be a Christian. That he would bring light to the people. Again, that's what Paul says here. This is one of the things that he understood. Agrippa understood that the world was in darkness, that the religious world was groping about in the darkness looking for God. And that when Jesus came, the Messiah, he brought light into a dark world. He lit it up so that the way to God could be clearly seen, and God's plan of salvation could be clearly seen. He brought light into the world. I don't know if you ever walked into a totally dark room and not being able to see where you're going and you're looking for the light switch. When the light comes on, well, you can see everything. And that's what happened when Jesus came into the world. It was God lighting up the dark world of sin through his Son. So he understood that. That he would bring light to the people. And he also understood that there was an experience of being a Christian. In his mind, he knew that you could become a Christian, that things could change. He had been listening to Paul's testimony, and he understood it. He knew and understood in his mind that Paul was a changed man, that he wasn't the man who persecuted Christians, that he was a different man now. His life had been changed by Jesus. He understood that. He had become a Christian. There's a play on words that I suppose you can only see, you can see it in the Authorized Version, between almost being a Christian and altogether being a Christian. And Paul said, I wish that everyone, including you, Agrippa, that you were not just almost, but you were altogether a Christian, totally committed to Christ. And Agrippa knew that he needed to become a Christian. He knew that in his head. So here we are. Here's this man who, almost a Christian. Part of the reason why I say it wasn't a cynical thing, because, look, here's how close he was. He understood the cross. He understood the resurrection of Jesus. He understood the clear message of the gospel, the light that had shone into the world when Jesus came. He knew that there was such a thing as a Christian, and he knew that he wasn't one. So those are the things he knew. But we can go on and look at the things that he believed. Look at verse 27. Paul says, King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? And he says, I know that you do. Here is a man, and if you asked him, do you believe the Bible? He says, I do. I believe the Bible. How much did he believe? Well, according to Paul here, he says he believed the prophets. The prophets said an awful lot of things about an awful lot of stuff. But two of the major things that they said was, first of all, they said an awful lot about sin. He believed the prophets and what they said about sin. What did the prophets say about sin? Well, we could go through them one by one and try to figure it all out. But, I mean, basically, the prophet said, Prophet Jeremiah said, man's heart is deceitful, desperately wicked. Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know you do. I know you believe the prophets. And what they said about sin, they said, well, Jeremiah said that man's heart was wicked and sinful and deceitful. Isaiah said that your sin have separated you from your God. Your sins have hid his face from you. What the prophet said about sin was that it had come between man and God. Jeremiah again said, your sins have withheld good things from you. So here is a man who believed the prophets. And what the prophets said about sin had got to be part of that belief. He also must have believed what they said about the Messiah. He seemed to understand an awful lot about the Messiah. In fact, at the beginning of the chapter, when Paul is addressing him, he says, I make my defense against all the accusations of the Jews, and especially so because you are well acquainted with all the Jewish customs and controversies. Agrippa was a budding theologian. He knew all this stuff. He was well acquainted with all the nuances of Jewish customs and controversies and things that were going on. And he knew what the Old Testament said about the Messiah. I've already quoted from Isaiah 53. He knew what the Old Testament said about the Messiah being like a lamb led to the slaughter. He knew all the truths of the gospel intellectually. But that doesn't make you a Christian. A superficial familiarity and even an intense intellectual understanding of the gospel doesn't make you a Christian. Let me tell you, for years I was like this man. I knew the gospel inside out. I would have argued with anybody about the Bible and stood up for its truth unashamedly. For years I was like that. But it was all up here. It hadn't reached my heart. It hadn't changed my life. For years I was like Agrippa. I was an almost Christian. Well, thank God it didn't stop there. So what did Agrippa do? He listened. That's good. He wasn't like Festus. Festus interrupted Paul. And he said, Paul, you're a madman. You've lost your marbles. This, you know, you're going on here. You're out of your mind. But Agrippa didn't do that. He listened. And he listened attentively. He had always taken an interest in religious questions, and he was quite open to sit and to listen. But I think secondly, he saw the cost. In verse 29, Paul says, I pray to God that not only you, but all who are listening to me today may become what I am, except for these chains. Agrippa had in front of him, and he, a man who was displaying the cost of being a Christian. The cost of being a Christian for Paul was being bound in chains. Agrippa was being brought face to face with the fact that becoming a Christian costs you. It means changing your life around. It means sacrifice and suffering and sometimes persecution. And we need to understand that. Becoming a Christian is not just about saying a wee prayer or sticking your hand up in a meeting or going to the front. It's about total commitment to Jesus. It's about God taking over your whole life. For King Agrippa, it meant bowing to King Jesus. The cost was there. And Jesus underlined that in the New Testament. He said that whoever will come after me must deny himself. It cost. Be a Christian. And verses 30 and 31 tells us that he left. So the king arose, and with him the governor and Bernice and those sitting with him. They got up. And it goes on to say that they talked among themselves. You know, the breakup of a service after a sermon can be a terribly sad time. Because here is a man who was so close to the kingdom, he knew and he understood intellectually all the stuff of the gospel. And no doubt, through Paul, God had been speaking to him again. And he gets up and he walks away and starts chatting to Bernice and the others. And all over this country this morning, there'll be people who'd be sitting in services like this, and God will be speaking to them, and they know that God is speaking to them, and they hear God's voice, and they'll get up and they'll walk away and have a chat with their friends and block out all the words that God has said. That's sad, isn't it? That's so sad when that happens. Make sure you don't do that. And for those of us who are Christians too, we need to understand that sometimes we can do the same when God is speaking to us about something in our lives, and we just get up and we feel it at the time, but we just get up and we walk away and forget it. And I'm going to say, he was probably lost. We don't ever read about Agrippa becoming a Christian. In fact, he lived quite a profligate life. To almost eat will never satisfy your hunger. To almost drink will never satisfy your thirst. To almost be a Christian will mean that you'll be lost eternally. John Bunyan said a lot of things, but one of the things that always struck me, he wrote, "Even from the gate of heaven, there is a way to hell." And here is a man who you could almost say was at the gate of heaven. And he turned away. He was convinced, but not converted. There's a solemn ending and I heard someone say one time many years ago that hell is full of people like Agrippa who were almost persuaded. Many years ago, there was a sad story in the Belfast newsletter, and the story was about a man who left here and went to Australia, and he didn't like it, and he set out to come back home again, yearning for home, to get home. And in those days, our travel was beyond the common ordinary man, so it was a few weeks in a boat. And he got to Liverpool, and he got the Liverpool boat to Belfast, and he was coming off the boat in Belfast, and he slipped and fell off the gangway down between the ship and the pier, and he was lost. And the headline was "Almost Home." Almost, but not quite. So here's the question: are you almost a Christian, or are you altogether a Christian? Totally committed to Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, when we read stories like this, our hearts get sore because we realize that we know so many people who are just like Agrippa, who we don't have to explain the gospel to because they already know it, and who would say that they believe in God, that they believe the Bible, and yet they've never become true Christians. And Lord, I pray for them today, wherever they are. Maybe some are here, and they just need to bow down the knee and to come and to surrender to your Holy Spirit and His working in their lives. We pray that will happen today, that many who are almost Christians will become altogether Christians. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.